Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I never cease to be amazed at God's timing with the text that is chosen for each week. We planned this months ago that we'd be reading this story. And it's just amazing to me how the text matches up with the circumstances of our world. Because this afternoon, I'm going to be gathering with our ninth grade confirmation students to be talking about vocation, God's calling in our life. And we're going to be talking about Moses' calling today. But even more surprising and amazing to me is never could we have ever planned that on this day, we would have gotten the news that we received from the call committee at the beginning of the service. And I got to tell you something. Nobody is more disappointed than me about that news. It's a tough journey that we're on to call a new lead pastor. And so I thought that given that circumstance and this text, as I've been soaking on this text all week, and honestly, whining a little bit, I realized that this text might actually help us to process this. Because discerning God's call is hard. And I thought it might be appropriate to just share with you my perspective on the journey that we've been on. 2.5 years ago, I received a phone call from Pastor Chris Gapel. And she called me up and said, "Steve, I really want you to consider this call to Easter because I want you to come and work with us." And that was a hard choice. I had to move, and it was a big choice, and we took it. And my expectation for receiving that call was that I was going to come to Eagan, Minnesota, to Easter Lutheran Church and work with one of the most dynamic young female pastors in the ELCA, and we were going to change the world together, and it was going to be awesome. And that's how I was going to spend my 50s. Little did I know that in less than a year, she would get sick and have to resign. That was not part of my plan. And so in June of last summer, 1.5 years ago, when she officially resigned, I started hearing voices from you and from inside of my head that said, "Steve, why don't you do it? Like, aren't you tired of being the lieutenant? Isn't it time to step up and be the captain for once?" I'm like, "Dude, you've got a PhD in missional leadership. Aren't you supposed to be actually leading a church? You're not getting any younger." A younger version of myself probably would have jumped at the opportunity. Because words like that feed my ego, especially as a white, middle-aged male. And so for 10 months, I wrestled with God. Just like last week, we talked about Jacob and how he wrestled all night long with the angel of the Lord and came out limping. I wrestled with God. I was angry, like, "What are you doing to me? Should I do this? Should I not do this?" I got away on silent retreats. I talked to wise counselors, and it was hard. But I came to the realization that God has given me a particular set of gifts. I am called to teach. I am called to use my artistic gifts to create content that will draw people deeper into the love of God through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit for the sake of the world. That is my call. And I get to do that here. The next lead pastor, part of my discerning process is I wrote out the job description because I know this place now. The next lead pastor has to be passionate about helping this church figure out what it means to be two locations what it means to be two worshiping cultures. How to move forward. Do we go to one? Do we stay two? There is a lot of meetings that are involved in that. There is a lot of intense relational work involved in that. It is going to require fundraising. It is going to require strong, passionate, strategic leadership. And it makes me tired. And that job would kill me. And I don't want to die. And I don't think you want me dead. And so, I realized that is how call works. You have to figure out who you are and what God is calling you to do. And so, as I was looking at this story of Moses in Exodus chapter 3, I see that there's four attitudes that might help us as we try to figure out what God is calling us to do in this time. The first attitude that I see is awareness. I mean, Moses has been a shepherd for a long time, right? He's out there, he's walking, he's doing his shepherd thing, he's got his flock with him. And it says he noticed a bush that was burning, but it wasn't being consumed. And God noticed that Moses saw. Awareness. I want to do a little experiment. Look around the room. Like, physically turn your head and look around the room. What do you notice? What do you see? I'm curious to know, how many of you knew that we had a monitor on the back wall? How many of you didn't know that we had a monitor on the, yeah, you confess. That's okay. I'm so thankful for the people who made that possible, because it really helps me in my style, right? But how many of you noticed that we no longer have four beautiful paintings on the back wall? Awareness is hard. Brain researchers tell us that we see what we're looking for. Isn't that interesting? And another set of research that looks into American Christianity has discovered something somewhat disturbing about mainline Protestant Christianity, that the majority of mainline Protestant Christians don't believe that God is an active agent in the universe. That at best, much of our Christianity is what they call a moralistic therapeutic deism, which means we really like Jesus' morality. The Jesus ethic is good, and it is. But God, at best, is the one who created the machine, wound it up, and now it's running on its own. And if you want to have a faith, it's more about a self-help kind of therapy. Because my faith makes me feel okay in a chaotic world. And that's what a lot of mainline Protestant Christianity is. Well, if you don't believe God shows up in burning bushes, you will never see God showing up in a burning bush. Because we see what we're looking for. But if we believe that God is an active agent in the universe, we will see God everywhere. Because God is everywhere and is speaking always. It's about awareness. The second attitude that I notice in this text is awe. When Moses realized that he was in the presence of God, he hid his face from God and he said, I'm not worthy of being here. And what did God tell Moses to do? Kick off your sandals. Let's do it. Take your shoes off. Seriously. I'm serious. Take your shoes off. It feels kind of weird, right? Yeah. Huh. Maybe you should reconsider your call is what you're thinking at this point, right? Yeah. So, you take your shoes off because it's holy ground. Why did God ask Moses to do that? It wasn't like Moses was going to track dirt across the carpet. Right? I mean, he's out in the wilderness. So what's going on? I wonder. Why do we wear shoes? I mean, we wear shoes to protect our feet. And that's good. So they don't get injured. We don't get infection. Like, I'm pro-shoe. I think shoes are good. Right? But shoes also create an artificial barrier between us and the ground. Wiggle your toes. You have a different connection with the floor right now than you did with your shoes on. Now imagine Moses. He's out in the wilderness. He's in front of one of the basic elements of the universe, fire. And he's barefoot on the earth. What if God is saying to Moses, don't you remember at the beginning of the story when I took Adama and formed Adam out of it? The earth. God formed humanity out of the earth. To be barefoot on the soil is to be reconnected to who we actually are. To be in the presence of fire. I had an awe moment just last weekend at WAPO. I had all the middle schoolers up there, and we had this moment where on the northern sky was one of the most brilliant lightning storms I'd ever seen. That the lightning was shooting straight up, like probably like a mile high. But directly above us was crystal clear stars. And out at the campfire, we're just overwhelmed. When we truly let ourselves come into the presence of the infinite Creator, it brings us into a sense of awe. We have to kick off our shoes and connect to that. And when I come into that awe, two things happen to me. One, I feel incredibly small in the presence of billions and trillions of galaxies. But I also feel caught up into something that is so much beyond myself. That's what transcendence means. So Moses was aware, and he came into a state of awe. The third attitude that I see is self-worth. Because notice how Moses reacted, probably the same way that you and I would react in this moment. It was like, whoa, no, I'm not worthy of this. Moses was asked to do something amazing. God said, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt. Go back to Pharaoh and confront systemic evil of slavery. Put your life on the line and lead my people out of slavery. And Moses threw back all of the reasons why it would never work. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I can't speak well. God, I can't do it. He's saying to God, who am I? Notice what God said. He didn't say, you can do it, Moses. Just work real hard. He said, no. He said this. I will be with you. That's who you are. So I want you to do this with me. Put two thumbs up. Who's got two thumbs up and is loved by God? This guy. Do that for yourself and mean it. Who's got two thumbs up and is loved by God? You are. And that is who you are. And if that's who you are, you can do anything God asks you to do. The fourth attitude that I notice is surrender. So Moses said, who am I? But then he asked, oh, God, if I go back to Egypt, they're going to ask, well, who sent you? So, God, what's your name? God, who are you? And God responds. You know, when you guys played the part of God, very well done, by the way, I think that's probably what God's voice sounds like. All those voices, male and female, old and young. God responds to Moses with not a name, but says, I am who I am. Also translated, I will be because I will be. In other words, you can't figure it out. Don't try. I got this. And what does Moses do? Surrender. Do you know why Pentecostals raise their hand in worship? It's a universal sign of surrender. Try it. Raise your hand. I surrender, God. Where you call, I will go. Why? because I'm loved by God. I'm on holy ground. And it starts with awareness. It's a disappointing news that we got today. But it's going to be okay. Amen?